title is Elijah and the Prophet of Fire. And we're in the second book of Kings, and we're in chapter 1. That's the second book of Kings, chapter 1. And it starts in verse 1. Now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice of the upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. Now Ahaziah is the son of Ahab, who has now just come to the throne, and he's in the palace, and he's somewhere on the rooftop, and obviously the lattice work, which was an area which was sort of semi-fenced off and to bring some shade from the heat of the sun, obviously it was in some form of disrepair, and he fell through it, and it says there, through the fall he became seriously ill. And it goes on to say, so he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. Well, you know, you would have thought that during this time he would have seen what had happened with his father, yeah, and with Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, but that would sort of have an impact on his life and cause him to consider the direction of his life and the direction of the nation. But it seems not. So we continue to read in verse 3. It says, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and say to him, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are now going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then Elijah departed. So straight away, what we've got to realize and remember, even today, God does know what is going on. We have to realize that. And God is watchful over his people. And God will move situations and circumstances to bring about his promises, his blessings, if we will stay under the covering of the Lord. And you see, the prophet Elijah right now, this literally the angel of the Lord visits him. It's like, it's a bit like today, the days that we live in. God wants you to hear his voice.
Yeah.
That's what happens. God wants you to hear his voice.
Amen.
And this is why Jesus came. So God wants every one of his people to be hearing his voice, that his voice is in the throne room. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us as that comforter, and he's been given to us as that comforter to the people that he might speak to us the mysteries of God and the mysteries of God about the situations that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And so, and the circumstances that we can find ourselves in with our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is ministering to us, just like the angel of the Lord ministered to Elijah and gave him the word of God, allowed him to hear what God was saying and what God was seeing and what was happening in the world at that time. And so the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us and to show us that he's well able to do far more than we can ask or think or even understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants us to know the truth.
Yeah.
And God does not want us ignorant of his plans, and neither does he want us ignorant of what the devil's trying to do into our lives and in the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that the Spirit of God that was imparted to us through in the book of Acts is there to take us into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus, just as the prophet was in this relationship with God. He was hearing the voice of God, and God is not changing that. God is intending that each and every one of us will hear his voice,
yeah,
and will be open to his Holy Spirit ministering into our hearts and into our lives. And so these are some of the challenges that face us, but God wants these to happen. That is the desire from God. And in Romans 1, it says this, Romans chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. And Paul writes this to the church in Romans, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." So this is the heart of Paul. Now Paul is speaking from the heart of God, that he's saying God wants us to impart to you some spiritual gift.
Oh,
praise
man.
God.
Oh,
hallelujah. Who wants a spiritual gift?
Yes.
God wants to impart it to us. God wants you to have this. And he said, and Paul then goes on to say in verse 12, it says, that this, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as other Gentiles. Paul is saying here, I want to come to you and I want to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Flowing out of you, because that is what the church is really about.
Amen.
It's not about just singing songs. It's not just about filling seats, but it is about that the church has a fruit of the Spirit. And you read Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, love. And these things need to be flowing out of the church. The church needs to be moving and operating in the realms and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is important. It is vital to church life. It is vital that the church have this happening, because this is what will keep the church alive.
Amen.
This is what gives the church the power. This is what gives the church its authority. The Word of God and the Spirit of God revealing the Word of God to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that quickening power that we need in our lives. And so here we find with, back to Elijah. Elijah then, he speaks the Word of the Lord to this this messenger that is going out to find some word from some prophets. And he tells them, you better just go back and tell him, because of this, because of the way he's thinking, because of the way he's going, because of what he's believing in, because of what he is trusting in, he will die. Because that which he's trusting in does not have life. That which he's trusting in has no substance about it. He's trusting in idols that cannot speak, that cannot move. You know, this had already happened prior to with the prophets of Baal, how Elijah had slain 400 of them when they tried to call down fire from heaven. And there was no fire until Elijah called on his God, the God of fire. And he came down and devoured everything that was there that was placed on that altar and the altar itself. And so we find that Elijah is now meeting and confronting these people and saying, take this message back to him. And he says in verse 6, and he said to him, a man, as they went back to the king, he said, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, Is it because that there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal, Beersheba, and the God of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from your bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. And immediately Azariah recognizes these words and says to him in verse 7, and he said to him, what kind of man was he who came to meet you and spoke these words to you? And verse 8 he says, and they answered and said, he was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins. He said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. He knew him well. He knew him well. He only needed a description of what he looked like, And he knew who it was.
Yeah.
Does the devil know who you are?
Mm-hmm.
Does the devil just need a description of who you are? And he knows that you are the child of God, the son of the King of Kings, the Lord, and the Lord of Lords, and that you are a person that is empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore he's afraid of you and afraid of the words that you would declare. We need to be in that situation. Today, in this day, in this generation, the world is looking for you and for me.
Oh,
the world is looking for the Jesus of this world. The world is looking for the truth and that of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And the only place they can find it is in the true disciples of the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
The true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we together, we need to make sure that we continue to glorify him and that everything that happens that we're involved in will bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, we'll lose everything. Because God will not give his glory to anybody
Amen.
Else. And so it is important for each and every one of us to realize that God wants to empower us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to rise up in the power and the authority
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because this is our calling. This is our promise. This is God's passion and desire for his church. That we will be like his son and that we will move forward and that we'll be joined to him. You know, it says in John 15 about being grafted into the vine and that we as the church are grafted into Christ and that the very words that we speak, the very life that we breathe out through prayer is the life of Jesus Christ. It's the life
Amen.
Of God flowing through us. It's the life of God doing great things in men and women's lives. Like we were talking about the people with addictions, how God can change them and set them free. But it is only by the power of God. How people have been healed, it is only by the power of God. God is far well able to do these things. You know, we have to begin to be the people that carry the message. We need to be the messengers of God. You know, when I read this little bit in how Elijah was dressed, it reminded me of John the Baptist. You know, he was dressed in the same way. He was a prophet of God. It seemed to be that this was the, for want of a better word, the uniform of the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And God was declaring the word of the Lord through these men who just, well, seemed insignificant at times and seemed unkept and ungod and just in some form just seemed strange to people. But these were the men that God was using. And sometimes if you seem a little bit strange to people, just let God use you. God wants to use you for his praise and for his glory. And so we move to verse 9. He says, and the king sent him a captain of 50 men. Now, it says a captain in my translation, but this can mean that this man is an ambassador, or he could be one of the princes of the household of the king. And so he sends one of his princes from his household with 50 soldiers. And he says, and they went up, and behold, he, Elijah, was sitting on the top of a hill. In one verse translation, it says sitting on top of a mountain. What struck me about that point of that verse was that he's not hiding.
No.
He sat there on the top of the hill in broad daylight, as bold as anything.
Oh,
he's
man.
Emboldened now by the power of the Spirit of God, and he sat there and he's saying, I'm here. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to see me? I'm here. And he's waiting. He's goading them in the one sense. As he sits there and he waits for him, because he knows what's coming. God has already warned him and told him. He's hearing from the throne room of God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Just if this is the only thing you get today, remember we need to be hearing from the throne room of God. Amen?
Amen.
Not the throne room of the BBC, the ITV,
mm-hmm.
or Sky News. We need to be hearing from the throne room of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, he's there on top of his hill. And he says, and he said to him, O man of God, the king says, come down. Who does the king think he's talking to? Come down. And Elijah answered him and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. This is why I've entitled today's message, Elijah the Prophet of Fire. It seems to be that wherever Elijah is, there will be a fireball at some stage, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you get in the way of the fireball, watch out, because it's going to go through, it's not going to stop, and it's going to devour and bring things down. And so somehow the message gets back, the messenger doesn't arrive back with the king, and in verse 11 it says, so again the king sends another prince and 50 men and sends them out, and they arrive there in verse 11. O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. You know, there's even more emphasis on this, come down quickly. And Elijah again answers and said, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Wow. Does the king not learn? He's just sacrificing lives for his selfish idol worship. And this is what the devil does. The devil takes lives. He steals. Jesus said he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. He's a destroyer of lives. He wants people. And God cannot touch anything that is ungodly, that is unholy.
Mm.
He's a holy God, and he has a fire, a burning fire that burns out all the dross, that cleans out. And so, you know, we sing a song that about from the in our past, we of the holy fire of God burning through. And you know, we've sung, you know, fire burn, mm-hmm. and it burns through us. And, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit needs to be burning in us, that will burn up the dross, that will prevent us falling into sin, that will prevent us being attacked and destroyed by the enemy, but will give us the ability to press forward and move forward in strength.
Our God is
a consuming fire. And so then, the third time, King Uzziah sends for Elijah. And this time, the captain comes, and he comes with a different attribute. He comes with a different spirit within him. And he comes before Elijah, and he says, he bows down on his knees before Elijah and begged him. He didn't command him. He begged him and said, O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, when people bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, when people bow the knee before God, and God is considerate towards each and every one of us, because God is a God of love. God is a God that wants to see his people coming into the fullness, but God will not stand the arrogance of the devil in people's lives and the sinfulness that's in people's lives. You know, the word tells us that if we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And God was a forgiving God. God is a loving God, and he comes to set captives free. Hallelujah. And we can praise him and praise his name for his goodness to us. And so right now, this servant of the king is now honoring Elijah. And as he approaches him with a right attitude, he's approaching the man of God. He's approaching God. He's honoring God, the God of Elijah. And we see God beginning to move again in a different way. You know, I was reminded also that in Numbers chapter 11, and I believe it's verse 1, where God sent amongst the people of Israel in the wilderness, he sent a fire amongst them because of their murmuring and their complaining, and God sent a fire amongst them. You know, whatever we do, as people of God, as children of God, don't be a murmurer, don't be a complainer. There is a scripture in the word that says there's no room in heaven for murmuring and complainers. There's no place for us.
Mm.
And so we need to be a people that we be thankful. You know, it says in Philippians, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. There's no place for complaining. There's no place for murmuring against God, but it says give thanks, because the situation that you're in now, it might be a trial. It might be a challenge. It might be difficult. But the word tells us, no matter what situation you're in, give thanks.
Amen.
And in giving thanks, God will move in our hearts and lives, and God will honor us, and God will move in such a way that we will find a blessing of God coming over our lives, and God will bring us through the circumstance and situation. Sometimes God does not remove the situation, but he brings us through, because in bringing us through, it's a time of preparing us, it's a time of equipping us, it's a time of strengthening us, it's a time of shaping us, it's a time of molding us and preparing us for a bigger battle, and causing us to be people that will stand strong in the word of God, that will stand strong on the promises. It causing our faith to arise and let our enemies be scattered. And so we have to realize that there are times when we go through situations and circumstances, we don't understand them. It's not about understanding them, but it's about trusting in the living God. Yeah. It's about knowing that no matter what we are going through, God has never left us, and God has never forsaken us, and we need to make sure that we're holding on to him. And as we hold on to him, then we will know his presence and his power working in our lives. And so this is something that we need to catch a hold of, that we continue to hold on to that which God has promised to us, hold on to the faith, trust in him, and allow God to move in power.
Yeah.
And he will. You know, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 54, it says there, and when the disciples, James and John, saw this. Now, this was a time when Jesus was in a place and they began to dishonor Jesus. And they said, Lord, will thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But Jesus, in verse 55, he says, but Jesus, he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not manner of spirit you are of. In other words, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus came as a God of love, to portray who his Father really was. And when there's true repentance, when there's true seeking the presence of God, then the presence of God will come. Verse 56 of that chapter says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
Amen.
And they went to another village. You know, if people don't want Jesus, you can try for so long, and if people don't want him, move on to the next. Don't waste your time. Jesus went on to the next village where they received him. And so for you and I, we have to remember this. We give time to people, but there comes a point when we just have to hand people over to God. And so, Lord, we've sown the seeds.
Yeah.
We've tried. We've pressed in. But now we hand them over to you, and we put them into your care and your keeping. And Lord, we just allow you to move. And so Jesus said, I've not come to destroy lives, I've come to save them. So sometimes we plant seed, and we just have to pray that over that seed, and pray that the Holy Spirit will move in that seed. And today there might be somebody who listens to this recording, and you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your life, and yet somewhere along the line, somebody has planted a seed into your life about the love of Christ, and about the need of forgiveness for your sins, and about the fact that he is well able to forgive you all the things that you've ever done wrong and ever will do wrong. And all that you need to do is turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and ask, acknowledge him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, and ask him to forgive you for your sins. Ask him to come into your lives and to cleanse you, to heal you, and to set you free from the grip of Satan. And begin to spend time in the Word of God. Begin to read the Acts of the Apostles. Begin to read John's Gospel. And just see who Jesus really is.
Amen.
And just begin to press in. And just pray that prayer. And just ask the Lord to forgive you. To come into your life. And make you anew. Because that's what God wants to do for you today. He wants you to know eternal life. He wants you to know his eternal love. He wants you to know his eternal peace and joy, through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have a look in, move back into 2 Kings and verse 15. 16. It says, and the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. And he said to him, thus saith the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub. So here Elijah is now facing the king, you know, and saying to him, you've sought counsel with false gods. You've sought counsel with idols. And yet you've sought counsel with the Lord of Beelzebub, means the Lord of the flies. And he said, earlier on, is there no God in Israel? Well, there wasn't, because they had rejected God. God wanted to be in Israel. God's plan was for to be with his people, but they had turned their backs on him. They had rejected him. God had not rejected them, but they had rejected him. And he goes on and basically says to him, because you have not sought the Lord your God, because you have not sought his ways, for the people of Israel, and that you followed in your father's footsteps, you followed in your mother's footsteps, his father being Ahab and his mother Jezebel, you followed their idol worship, you followed their gods, and now the judgment is passed upon Israel and upon you. And he says to him, finally, he says, Isaiah dies from his injuries, and it goes on and says that his brother Joram takes the throne. And so we find here that because of the king's following of false worship, because of the things that the king was doing and following idols and following the work of Satan, that his life is cut short and his life comes to an end because of what had happened. This is part of a fulfillment of what the Lord said to Ahab, that his family would be cut off.
Yeah.
And so again, this is being part of the fulfillment of the prophetic word that was given by the word of the prophets to Ahab. So let's move now into chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. So Bethel means the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they journey to the house of God. You see, there are many names in the Old Testament, so they have a deep rooted meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We were only chatting yesterday, Daniel and Alicia and Grace and I, about the Old Testament and that such importance about it at times, how it's a type and a shadow of the things of the New Testament, and how it points constantly towards the coming of the Lord Jesus, to the Messiah, to the one who sets us free. And so it is important, and that we can learn from the things of the Old Testament, and it reveals to us the substance that is there from the New Testament, that will appear in the New Testament, and gives you a better insight at times. So sometimes it's not easy to read, sometimes it's not easy to understand, and it obviously is not always, it's not written in a chronological order, but it is written there for us to know, and to, as we dig into it, we can find the things of God for our lives. And so he sends him, he says, they go down to the house of God, and so they're on that journey there. Now Gilgal is, the word Gilgal means, it speaks of faith and hope and trust in the living God, as opposed to faith in the system of a fallen world.
Oh, man.
And we find that we're reminded in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9 that God rolled away the shame of the slavery of the children of Israel at Gilgal. And so Gilgal means, really it means a rolling away of our slave mentality. You know, we need to come to a place where our slave mentality is being removed from us. We are no longer slaves.
Amen.
But we are sons of the living God.
Amen.
We're not those who are in bondage, but we're those who have been set free from bondage. I know I've told this story before, but there was a story of a preacher who had a dog which he kept in his back garden. He kept it on a length of chain. So the dog knew how far to run. And the dog had learned to the point where it would run and it would stop before the chain snapped on its neck and pulled it to a halt. And so the man would go down his garden to greet his dog, and the dog would come running towards him, but each time it would stop before it got to the end of the chain, so it didn't inflict any pain upon itself. And so one day the man of God went down to his dog, and he petted him and loved him and hugged him, and quietly he slipped off the lead. He slipped the chain off the dog and walked away from the dog, and then shouted the dog to come towards him. But he walked inside, and the dog ran towards him, and then all of a sudden stopped before the normal thing, a chain would pull on his neck, and he stopped. But yet the dog was free. There was no chains. Comes to mind that hymn, "My chains fell off." And we have to realize that "my chains fell off." We have to walk beyond the length of the chain that we had. We have to walk into our freedom. You know, sometimes we can feel like our lives have been a life where we've been encaged. Well, the prison door is open. The cage door is open.
Mm-hmm.
We're free. It's time to move out of our cages. It's time to move out into our freedom in God. It's time to know the expressed freedom of God, that "my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And, you know, we need to follow the Lord Jesus. We need to follow the move of the Spirit. We need to follow the Word of God as it leads us and directs us into great things. You see, Gilgal means all your shame's gone. There's now no more condemnation.
Amen.
And the Word of God tells us that in Christ Jesus, there is now no more condemnation. Hallelujah. We're not condemned anymore. But the devil constantly points his finger at us, tries to remind us of our past. We're not a people of a past. We're a people of a future.
Mm-hmm.
We're a people who know the presence and the power of God working in our lives. And so we remind ourselves of what the Word of God says about us. We are redeemed. We are set free. We have been saved and delivered by the presence and the power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus for our lives. We're moving into that kingdom of God mentality. We're moving into that kingdom of God reality for our lives.
Mm.
So we have to press into these and believe that God is moving in us and moving through us.
Mm.
And then we move back into 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "And then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel, the house of God, came to Elisha and said to him," I love this. Can't you just imagine this, you know? 50 of these guys coming up to him and saying, "Hey, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" Oh, you know. Well, Elisha, he retorts back, "Yes! I know. Be still. Be quiet." You know, it's like, I'm trying to focus on this. I know he's going, but I'm going to stick with him through thick and thin.
Mm.
And he's there saying, he says, and Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your life lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. This man is going to stick with him. This man is sticking with his calling.
Mm-hmm.
This man is sticking with his appointment to serve the prophet. He was called to serve the prophet. He's sticking with the calling. He's sticking there. He's hanging in. You know, Elijah has had some rough times, but Elisha has stuck with him. And he's gone through it with him. And so he's learning from the prophet. He's learning what and seeing what God has done in his life. And so verse 5, it says, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you, from over you today? And he answered, yes, I know. Be still. It's like, I know. Everybody's trying to tell him. Now, I find this interesting as well, that the school of the prophets that was set up, all the prophets are hearing the same thing.
Amen.
Did you hear that? All of the prophets are hearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Elijah is about to be taken. They're hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is something important that we need to realize, that when the prophetic word is given, that all the prophets that are in the church hear the same thing. That's how you judge prophecy. You can't have somebody coming and saying one thing and then somebody coming and saying something different. You know, it is one Spirit, one God, one Lord, one Saviour. And we have to remember this. And so often we get false prophets trying to come into churches. And we see it so often in Dharma tells me it many times, in African churches and African nations, where many people use supposedly the name prophet and speak false words to bring people into bondage, to bring people into subjection, and to actually rob them of their finances, and in the end rob them of their blessings. And it's wickedness, and it is rooted in the demonic. And so when somebody prophesies, we have to test that word of prophecy. We test it against the word of God. We test it by the Holy Spirit. And we find whether it is true. And we see here the same word is being spoken from two sets of prophets. And God is about to take Elijah from Elisha. And then in verse 6, he says, then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. So now they're on the way to the river Jordan. And Jordan is a type of passing over. And we know that Enoch, it says, walked with God. And then suddenly he wasn't there anymore. He never died. He just went on into the presence of God. He'd come to a point in his life where there was such a closeness and relationship of purity between him and God that God said, come on. And just God took him out. Moses, classed as the most humblest man on the earth. And, you know, God took him. I know in one version, one translation, it says, and God killed him. But they never found his body. You know, in the end, we find in the New Testament that Moses entered the promised land in this new body. And hallelujah. The promises of God are true. Yet, he couldn't enter the land in his physical body. God has said no because of your disobedience. But you know, when he got that new body and God brought him in again, just like he did with, and he brings back him and Elijah, and he brings them into the promised land. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. You know,
okay.
God is faithful to his promises. Might have taken a few thousand years, you know, a few thousand years for Moses to get in the promised land, but he made it. Hallelujah. Are you going to make it into the promised land?
Amen.
Glory. Are we going to make it in the presence
yes.
of God? You know, the word is true. The word is for us, not against us. Jesus died that you and I might enter into the presence of our Heavenly Father, might enter into his presence and his glory, and that we might know him whom to know is life eternal. This is what God has promised for you and for me. It's not that it's not that God intends us to fail. God intends us to succeed in what we do, because the Christ is in us. The devil wants us to fail, but God's intention is that he wants you to succeed. And there's no pressure. Jesus did it all. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have got to do is to begin to walk in his footsteps, to follow him. And as we follow him, we will find the way that God leads us and directs us, we shall know his presence and his power moving in our lives. And I love this where it says in verse 6, and so the two went on. Do you know, when we walk with the Lord, there's two of us.
Yeah.
We're never alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's with us. The word tells us, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So no matter where you are, even if you feel physically alone,
mm-hmm.
you're not.
Amen.
He, the Lord,
mm-hmm.
is with you.
Amen.
He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Promises that his Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to minister to us and to guide us and to lead us. Such a wonderful experience. And this really is a picture and a type and shadow of Elijah and Elisha, of like the bride of Christ. Elijah is a bit of a picture like of Jesus, and we find that Elisha, who's stuck with him, is the picture of the bride, and they're coming together. This is the trueness of the church, the oneness together. That no matter where Elijah goes, Elisha is going. No matter what's going to happen, he's going to follow him. And the thing about it is, and I'm going to reveal this in a minute, is that, you know, we remember that Elisha said, I want to see you go, but I want a double portion.
Yeah.
I want a double portion. What did Jesus say to the church? He said, greater things shall ye do.
Amen.
In my name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that God is calling us to greater things?
Yes.
Do you believe that God has appointments for us for greater things?
Amen.
It is not that we look greater than Jesus.
No.
But it is that through that mighty name of Jesus, that we would see greater things being done that will bring glory. Because if they're greater, all they're going to do is be constantly exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be constantly lifting up Jesus. That's what we should be doing. When we see a miracle, when we see a healing, when we see a soul saved, we should be exalting Jesus. And as we exalt Jesus, then the angels rejoice with us. And God rejoices that we would honor him. And God will continue to pour out into our lives more and more of himself, because God knows that you are trustworthy with the things of God, that you are a person that is worthy and trustworthy to handle the things of God.
Amen.
God is looking for men and women who will be trustworthy with his spirit and with his word.
Amen.
So we find here now that in verse 7, and he says, and now 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the water, and they divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds us of Moses and the children of Israel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Moses with his rod crossed the Red Sea, and they went over on dry ground. God is a God of miracles. God is a God that does great and mighty things. You know, it says they went across on dry ground. They didn't even have to wait for the ground of the river bed of the Jordan to dry up. The moment he struck it, it was dry.
Amen.
Explain that one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, think about it. I mean, I have swum in the River Jordan. It is a silty, dirty looking river. You know, the river bed is mushy. But the word of God says they went across some dry ground. What a powerful God we serve. This is God at work.
Mm.
And again, this is like Elijah's baptism. When the children of Israel came through the Red Sea, they came through and this was their baptism. When Elijah crosses over the Jordan, this is his baptism.
Amen.
This is now his preparation for entry into the total presence of the living God, the God who he serves, the God in whom he trusts, the God in whom he worships, the God in whom he honored in all things. And so Elijah now has just gone through his baptism. It's his preparation to leave this earthly realm and to enter into his eternal realm in the presence of God, and to continue his preparation for ministry in the future. And we know it turns up in the New Testament, his ministry of preparation. Are you in preparation for ministry? And I don't mean for eternity, I mean for now. Because God is calling each and every one of us to be prepared for ministry, to operate in the things of the Spirit, to hear the voice of God, to be able to do strong and bold things in the name of the Lord, and to stand on the promise of his word, to stand in the truth of his word, and see God moving. It is not about one man. If it is, the only man it's about is Jesus.
Yeah.
But as far as for you and I concerned, it's not about one of us. It is about every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
That every one of us prepare ourselves, that every one of us be ready to do the work of the kingdom, that every one of us be prepared to do the work of our Father and the work of the Spirit in Amen. People's lives. And so God is calling us. And then verse 9 it says, and now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elijah said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Praise God.
Amen.
And verse 10, he says, you have asked a very hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Wow.
Yeah.
He asked the big thing. And as I said earlier on, you know, Jesus said, the word tells us in Isaiah that a double portion of this Holy Spirit being at the former rain, the latter rain being outpoured on us. I believe that is for today.
Amen.
We need that double portion. We need that anointing. We need that powerful move of God to change people's lives. You know, men's thinking, men's ideas, men's doctrines have got in the way. Science is rising up and seeking to deny God. But I tell you what, when miracles happen, let science try and disprove a miracle of God.
Amen.
Let science try and disprove when a deaf person's ears are open and they've been closed for 65 years. Mm-hmm. Let science disprove it. Yeah, I tell you, it can't.
Yeah.
Because this is the true and living God that has come to set really captives free and to bring deliverance and healing to the nations. That is the promise of God. And in verse 10, it says, and he said, you've asked a hard thing, but nevertheless, if you see me go, when I am taken from you, so shall it be. And verse 11, then it came about that we're going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Here we go again. Elijah, the mm-hmm. fireman.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fireman. He's a man of fire. Glory to Lord, bring some Elijah.
Amen.
Lord, raise up the Elijahs of fire.
Amen.
Raise
Amen.
Up the men of God with fire in their bones, fire in their spirit, that, Lord, they breathe fire, the word of truth, that mm-hmm. burns up all the dross and sets captives free, that burns up the bondages. You know, God's fire was in the in that fire of Daniel, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in that fire, the presence of God was there, and there was a holy fire around them, and the bondage burnt off, but they were not touched.
Amen.
There's a fire from God that burns off all the bondages, that burns away all sin, that burns away and sets captives free. That is the fire of God that we need. There's a fire that destroys, but the fire of God that sets the captives free and brings and breathes life and causes people to sit up and watch. I remember the story that one time down in the Welsh revival, that suddenly one night there was a church in Wales and they were praying and praying, and suddenly there was a fire on top of the church. There were flames on top of the church. The fire brigade came out, but the church wasn't being burned.
Mm-hmm.
It was the presence of a holy God, and people began to come to God and repented and turned from their wicked ways, and God forgave them, and they just threw them into the church, and God showed them his mercy and his love. God is an all-consuming fire. The things that he wants to consume are the sins and the things that, you know, stop us from coming into his presence.
Amen.
God is that fire. And it says there that in verse 11, then it came about as they were going along talking, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Can you imagine this? You know, this is seems imaginable what's going on. What would you think if this was coming towards you? And he said, it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. You know, it reminds me that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates to bone and marrow. When the fire of God comes, it separates.
Amen.
There's a clean separation. And you know, when we come to Christ, when the fire of God, when the Spirit of God comes onto us, there needs to be a clean separation from you and the world.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a clean separation from you and the world. Jesus came to separate us from the sinful world and to set us aside for service unto him.
Amen.
We're called to that. We're appointed to that. And God is calling you to fulfill the promises that God has over your life. God is calling you to fulfill that position. And that's the only time you'll feel satisfied and fulfilled, when you're moving in the things of God, when you're knowing the presence and the power of God moving in your life. And this is so important. And you know, it's not about words, but it is about being there, putting it into action, and letting the word of God flow, and letting you be the life of Christ to others in Jesus' name. Verse, you know, it says there, that verse 11, that they were separated. Elijah was caught up by the whirlwind of the fire. You know, he was taken away. He wasn't killed. He was taken up. Hallelujah. We have a God who is not a God for killing, but he's a God for bringing us to a place of release, deliverance, and setting us free. You know, Elijah had come to a place where the lust of this world, and the desire for things that were ungodly and the passion for this world, he'd subdued them in his life. The only passion and lust he had was a lust for the things of God. And in that, he'd conquered the things of this world. And God took him out. And you know, through Christ, we can conquer the lusts of this world.
Amen.
We can conquer the passions that would seek to bring us down. And so often it's like that. The world tries to break into our lives, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of wanting more and asking for more and desiring more. And God has said, I've given you all that you need.
Yeah.
I've given you all that you need. And God will supply all my needs, it says, according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, as God sees what you need, God will provide your needs and God will make provision for us.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, God is moving forward in that area, and we just need to surrender ourselves to him and allow that to happen in our lives. Don't let the passions and the desires of this world hold you back. Don't let it break into your life and pull you down. You know, I see so many ministers, and they're sat in public houses with a pint of beer or a bottle of wine and whiskey, and they sit there as bold as brass and just think it's a great thing. You know, look, I can drink. So what? So can alcoholic.
Mm.
And it brings him into bondage. You know, the word tells us, be ye separate.
Amen.
Be ye the salt of this world. Be ye the light of this world. You know, God wants us to be separate.
Mm-hmm.
God wants people, when they look at us, to think, there's something different about you. What is it? And it is the Christ that is resident with each and every one of us. And I speak to myself in this way also. God is looking for people that will resonate, that will emit the light of Christ out of their lives and not be conformed to this world, Romans says, but be ye transformed.
Amen.
You know, there's a transformation. There is a change that should be coming in us, and we have to break through. Because if not, we will be suckered in by the enemy. We'll be drawn back into the things of darkness, and we will lose what we've got. And God is not intending to lose us. God wants us to be drawn into his presence, drawn into his kingdom. And as we see him moving in power, God moves into our lives and blesses us. We see, as we look at this last few verses, that Elisha saw his master go and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. He says, and then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in pieces and took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the banks of the Jordan. The beginning of the release of the ministry of Elisha.
Yeah.
He was faithful to his master.
Yeah.
He was faithful to the prophet. He was faithful to his teachings. He was faithful to him through thick and thin. And he learned his ministry. He learned from the master. And he learned about his God. The Almighty God, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe. And he learned about him. And that young man desired to be a servant and a prophet of the living God.
Amen.
We'll start to look at Elisha over the next few weeks. And you know, one thing that he asked for was a double portion.
Yeah.
Well, if you check through Elijah, there were 7 miracles, if you want, whatever you want to call them, there were 7 acts that were powerful acts, that divine acts of God. Many of them were by fire. That's why I chose this last title for today, Elijah, the prophet of fire. Hallelujah. Let the fire of God burn in you. Let it burn. Let it drive out every bit of dross. Let it be a cleansing fire. Let it be the holy fire. And let us arise and let our enemies be scattered. And let us fulfill our calling in Jesus Christ. And as the church of Jesus Christ, let us arise and break down the strongholds. Pull down those strongholds and see the kingdom of God coming into its fullness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.